The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adelaide Marbeth, not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Meh.
So, unfortunately, we have to enter this with a somber tone as Chad Gaspar's body has been found. It's a horrible story, but one that leads to heroics and a great father. It's just we wish that the family could have been able to share that together. As those that don't know, Chad Gaspar and his son, I think it was during this long weekend, they go swimming together. Chad saves his son. He gets taken in by the Riptide. They just recently, as of I think 1 o'clock this morning in Pacific time, were able to find the body. He still had swimming trunks on him, and then there was that time they were able to pronounce him dead. And 39 years young, really unfortunate loss to the wrestling world, to the sports world, to his son and his wife and his family. And obviously had a big impact on a lot of those in wrestling. You've seen a lot of their thoughts with it. It was a really unfortunate story to follow. You had hoped that potentially maybe he was just washed out somewhere and that he was okay. But unfortunately, today, the worst was confirmed.
Yeah, I think once he didn't turn up at the beginning, you kind of knew where this story was going. You just hope that the body turned up. His last act was telling the lifeguards to save his son. You know, that's really the biggest thing that's being driven home is that final act. And just, like, you see so many positive messages from everyone else that knew him and had to and worked with him and interacted with him, and it's a lot of just really positive things that have come from this. I mean, there's the video of him and MVP celebrating Kofi's world title win last year. This week has sucked because we've had the Gaspar passing, which sucks. 411 Mania lost one of their head editors. He passed. Yeah, he covered everything. I didn't realize how much he covered. He covered everything wrestling. He's passed.
His last tweet is so morbid, by the way. Have you seen the last tweet he ever sent out?
No, I haven't seen.
Oh, so Alvarez was tweeting about how unfortunate it was. So I went to this guy's Twitter page, and his last tweet ever is like, "Yeah, today's one of the first days I just haven't really felt good. I'm going to catch up on some sleep." Last tweet he's ever said is like, oh, my God.
Yeesh. That is, well, that, oh, man. And, I mean, we've had so many other news break.
We had Jerry Stiller just last week, Fred Willard, so two great comedians. That we recently lost as well. Obviously, I'm still reeling from Kobe Bryant at the beginning of the year. But this one, you know, with Fred and with Jerry, very unfortunate, but older age with unfortunately just their time. This Chad one, it was not his time yet. He seemed like someone that was slowly but surely breaking into Hollywood really well.
Yeah, he had a wrestling script.
So young.
He had a wrestling script, and he was trying to make connections in that industry, and he was working towards basically building another life. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's just very, very crappy, just in general. Just in general, not just in wrestling, but just across.
We're thankful the son was saved. I remember when Kobe passed, and I was like, please don't let the daughters be with him. That was my first thought. I said, please don't let Gigi or anyone be with him. And unfortunately, we know how that resulted. When I had heard this initially, I was just like, please let his son be there. And then your heart just breaks because of the whole story. But it's thankful that his son did survive this, but I just can't imagine the scar and his son's going to live with forever with this.
That's going to be one of the worst days ever. This has been a lot of just a lot of things. And then on top of it, one of the main things we're here to talk about, the Dark Side of the Ring episode we both watched that aired last night, that just...
Before we get to that, just talking about the wrestling side for Shad, you know, did it make as big of an impact as maybe we thought? He kind of seemed like a traditional Vince guy. He had that chance for that solo run after he turned to JTG, and they had the one solo match, and nothing really happened for him after that. As a tag team, they unfortunately kind of fell under the stereotype for African Americans there, but they made it work. They made it great. They were a fan favorite tag team. I think they were part of one of my least favorite segments of how they took Lita out of the company the first time. I really didn't like that segment.
Yeah. But,
good feud with Jericho probably was the highlight when JTG beat Jericho and they had that feud. And then the little bit of run they got with Cena. It was probably the highlights of his time in WWE. It never really went to any other company and made room. I kind of surprised by no TNA run or anything in there.
Yeah, I think they moved on respectively.
He didn't have the passion, right? JTG was a wrestling fan. He wasn't as much.
Yeah. And Shad definitely, from everything that I've read here, it just sounded like he wanted to break into Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was working towards. That's why he was in LA. So this
he
is...
He made some decent paths. Being part of the game of the year from probably the most competitive game of the year since 2014 in 2018 with God of War. The year that you also had Red Dead and you had Celeste and Spider-Man. And he does the mocap for God of War.
Yeah. He did stunt coordination for Suicide Squad.
Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. There we go. Mm-hmm. DC.
Yeah. So just our deepest condolences here from all of us at We Talk Podcast and One Fall with the family today and all those loved ones in WWE. I've seen them. Shouts to AEW. They did something on their Twitter that was really nice as well. Be interesting to see if AEW does a graphic before tonight's event for Shad. I would assume they would. Just that's kind of seems to be the kind of company that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see. I'd like to think that they will.
So, yeah, our deepest condolences, deepest thoughts. It's a really unfortunate story. And, yeah, there's just nothing much more to say. It just it sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So from that fun story to the other fun story, Dark Side of the Ring with Owen Hart. That's out. Did the highest viewership that they've had for the show. We got a lot of Martha Hart. We had the Jericho podcast as well. She just did a show with Dave Meltzer as well. So there's a lot of Martha Hart this week. Joel, your initial thoughts.
There are many things that I think hit with me. Seeing what was used and what ultimately killed Owen was tough.
Mm-hmm.
The blood on the mat isn't apparently. Mm-hmm. It isn't Owen's blood. It's the blood from what's the vampire gimmick that was
Gangrel.
That was apparently a bloodbath, and that's where that was from. But so I don't know.
They sensationalized it a little bit then.
I don't know if. But see, the thing is, I don't know if that's Owen's blood because that wasn't. They didn't have a crime scene, so they couldn't have done a little swab and gone, "Oh yeah, this isn't Owen's."
I don't think it is though because. From watching Over the Edge, the match before that, I don't recall any blood. I have to look at the card quick and see where Gangrel was. The double check.
Well, that was on Sunday Night Heat, so that would have been done before.
Oh, so it would have definitely been before. Okay. I'm going to look at the card just to see how many matches folded over, so keep on going.
I mean, you gotta commend Martha, Oge, and Athena for for more or less being well-adjusted. For being able to live life. I know it's weird hearing someone say, "I hate pro wrestling and I want nothing to do with it." Because I love pro wrestling. So that's always like, oh. But I completely understand where they're coming from.
Absolutely.
What happened is enough to drive a stake in everything. I mean, this led me going back in Brett's book and reading how some of the Harts interacted with Martha. So when you hear the line, not wanting anything to do with the Harts, it kind of makes sense. I don't know. You watch this and it's just, it is the single most in some ways it's more sad than the Benoit story, because the Benoit story was almost a ticking time bomb and it was just a matter of when and how it was going to explode. This was something that didn't have to happen, could have been prevented. And it just, they hired a cheap rigger, and the rigger's like, oh yeah, quick release, 6 pounds. Owen could have made that pressure with his arm. That's the amount of pressure it takes to pull a trigger on a gun. So they put a loaded gun near Owen, and he moved, and it pulled, and it devastated a family. It absolutely devastated a family, and not only did it devastate Martha and her family, but it devastated Brett and the Hart side of things. You read in Brett's book of how detrimental that death and that passing was to that whole family. And it's just like, it was the most preventable thing possible. If only they had gone, hey, you know what? We don't like how it's set up for Owen. Takes too long to get out of the apparatus. Let's just scrap it, and then we'll just have him run down to the ring, and that'll be it. Simple and easy. I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me is how easy Martha was able to release that quick release. Just like anyone could have done that. And it speaks to the negligence from WWE and the rigor. And just everything about this whole thing, the legality, Vince wanting to move things to Connecticut, and suing. Vince sued Martha because her husband couldn't complete his contract.
Yeah, that's not great.
Because he's dead. Like, how? I don't know. It's weird because you leave that and you go, like, you obviously want to hear the Hart side of things. You want to hear from Brett and others. Why did this happen? Why has there been such a falling out? Being in Calgary, it's almost like every couple of years we see a Hart scrap with Martha in one way or another.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's tough. I'm glad for what the Owen Hart Foundation can do in this city. I'm glad that $18 million went to that. Putting a price on Owen of $18 million seems really weird and really morbid.
Well, I think the most morbid thing was, she talked about this on the Jericho pod, when the lawyer came, it's like, no one's going to jail over this. This is just about money. And she's like, well, I don't want money. I want justice. She's like, yeah, you're not going to get it. So it's, do you want money or do you want nothing?
That's, yeah, I don't know. It's, this could have easily been 2 hours.
I think it should have been 2 hours. I think you should have talked a little bit more about Owen's career personally, but I think this is obviously something that has a lot of the Martha side of thing on it. And as you could tell from Oge and Athena, they just have zero interest in the wrestling side of this. So I think they really did tell the bare minimum of Owen as a wrestler. They really did tell the bare minimum of him of that. And you know what? That's fine. Like, this is more of a story, not about Owen Hart, the wrestler, but Owen Hart, the husband and the father, and him being stripped away from his family and how much he loved his family and how he would not pack boots and not pack any clothing, really, because he didn't want to check a bag and he wanted to get off the flight and go right to his family. Or how he would not book a hotel. He would stay with fans so he could save more money for his family, which are some stories they maybe could have told on the doc, I thought was maybe left out. But ultimately, I think that's the side of the story they wanted to focus on more, was not as much Owen Hart the wrestler, but Owen Hart the husband and the father.
Uh, I think this is where two parts would have come in handy, because Jericho's podcast with her could have easily been, because she talks about his career, talks about his time in Japan and everything. And
well, Jericho brings it up. She didn't want to talk about it. Again, Jericho brought it up. Any wrestling questions, Jericho brought up. She didn't want to talk about him in Japan, really. She talked about how nice the time was there and how everyone was super nice to her when she was there and very respectful. She didn't bring up Japan, though. Jericho brought it up.
Yeah, I feel like that, from a documentary, because it really is kind of rounding out Owen as a person, because can you believe it's been 21 years since this whole thing happened?
No, I mean, it's hard. I keep on going back to Mark Henry, and I think a lot of people have done it the last few days. And, you know, after hearing Oge talk and her heart, like, and everything, like, I held no ill will, and anyone that does, and I see people like, well, he still needs to go in the Hall of Fame. He's like, no, he's never going in, and if you do think that, then you have actually no respect for the family. I do agree with Mark, though, in a sense of we as fans still want to have some ability to be able to celebrate him, and we've never fully had that opportunity. Now, it is 100% the family's right. Martha's right and the kids' right. If they don't want to do that, if they look at the world of professional wrestling, they're like, you took our father, we're not giving you that opportunity. That's 100% their right to have that.
Yeah.
But as a fan of him, we've had these abilities to celebrate Eddie. We've had these abilities to celebrate Perfect and these lost legend Piper. We haven't had that ability to fully celebrate Owen. Yes, we had the Raw after Monday night, which I still think, out of all the unfortunate Raw after someone has passed, probably sticks out to me the most, even more than the Eddie one. The Owen one really, because I don't really specifically remember any speeches from the Eddie one. I just remember it being really, really sad. I remember Benoit crying, the biggest thing. The secret to me, Benoit just looking like crying like a baby. But I remember the Mick Foley speech. I remember Jeff. I remember Mark just being done. I remember Hunter being done. And just how much of a mark this guy left, because him and Undertaker are probably the two guys in the industry. You just never hear them get talk shit about them ever. And you've heard people that have passed, they've gotten shit talked about them, that they didn't like this or that. But it's really hard in this wrestling business to not have someone to say a bad thing about you. And between Taker and him, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say anything bad about that, except for Paul London saying something on Taker, but it's Paul London. He's an immature prick. But have you ever heard anyone say ill will anything about Owen or The Undertaker?
No. Owen, there's never been anything bad said about Owen.
It's built on respect.
Yeah. This came from the Observer Radio interview that Martha Hart did for the Wrestling Observer, and this is probably within her book, and this is probably well-known knowledge, but just, I never knew this, but WWE, WWF told newspapers they paid for Owen's funeral, when they never really did.
I had heard that they paid for it, but I didn't know that. So she paid for it?
Yeah.
Didn't Vince go there? She told Vince to leave too, right?
Yeah, I don't think she wanted Vince there. Like in Brett's book, there's a story of Ellie and Diane guiding Vince to Stu's to his limo. And obviously one of the, I believe it was Ellie or Diane sent Martha's legal information to Vince McMahon and their lawyers, and just shattered any hope that they had.
Well, remember at this point, Davey Boy comes back to the company pretty soon after this, right?
Yeah, to get super kicked by Sean.
And to get rock bottomed into dog shit by the Rock.
Yeah, because Vince McMahon and the Hart family is...
He comes back in September, just to clear that up.
Yeah. I don't know how you can't leave this and go... Like, the whole run of this season of Dark Side of the Ring really shows the warts for Vince McMahon really strongly.
You know, Snuka one especially.
Snuka... I mean, you do a deep dive on the Benoit thing, and Vince doesn't look good there. I mean, it just, as time goes on, you the more and more you hear, the more and more you go, well, Vince is Vince.
But then I see the Undertaker thing, like I told you, and you see a guy that goes to the hospital with Taker and is renegotiating with him and being around Undertaker, and I'm just like, who the hell is that guy then? And you see him like interact with some of his employees sometimes, and you're like, and again, you can't take too much of that serious because it's a WWE Network documentary, but you hear stuff like him going to the hospital with Taker, and it's just like, well, who the hell is that guy? And you hear how much loyalty matters to him, and you would assume he would be happy with Owen because he was loyal and re-signed the contract.
I think he had Owen under a barrel. I think Owen, I don't think there was any way Owen was getting away. Because
I was just going to say, I agree with Jericho. The biggest in this is, the biggest tragedy to me, outside of the more life implication of a wife and children losing their father, is if he doesn't die, and they say one more year, if he just stays around in the company for six more months, his life is completely different as a professional wrestler. Completely different. Russo's out of the company, and the wrestlers that are in there, it changes it completely.
But is it, though?
It is.
Would they use Owen? Because Owen's trajectory was...
Well, then at the very least, he's a husband and a father.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. That's the biggest thing. If he's still alive, then he's opening his bicycle shop, or he's doing
customs agent.
Yeah, something.
That's the one he wanted to do. I think it opens, though, because you look at the talent that they have in there, and you talk about the reverence the guys like Jericho had, that Edge had, that Kurt had, of the reason that they came to the company was wanting to wrestle a guy like him. And Jim even said, like, we knew what we had in that point. And it was why they tried to pitch so many different things to Owen during the Attitude Era, because they knew what they had, but he didn't fit the mold of what an Attitude Era wrestler was for them to a degree. He didn't go that extra distance to have things. And I mean, I think they didn't talk about this as much as he didn't get along with Austin. And I wonder how much that impacted a push as well, because Austin never forgave him until the end. Yeah.
That is the biggest wart on Owen's career, if you want to look at it. Is not calling Austin.
I guess that's the person that has... I know Austin said he's moved on and he's forgotten it, but him not calling Austin after breaking his neck sucks. I mean, and that's one of the things I was... You know, these shirts are starting to come out. The one shirt everyone wants is Owen 316.
Yeah.
But Martha will never put a shirt like that out, because she won't do anything that's tied to him in WWE.
No, 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 God, no.
But that's the shirt everybody wants. It's an easy shirt to make. Don't get me wrong. Anyone can make that shirt, but that's a shirt that a lot of people want, is Owen 316 says, I just broke your neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kicked your leg into your leg is another one that people would want. Because I watched that Royal Rumble thing and I was like, are they going to show the botch? Because it's kind of an endearing theme of Owen, right? Of like, and that's why, Brad, I kicked your leg into your leg.
I don't know how you would compare him to Brett in a lot of ways, because Brett's probably one of the all-time greats, mm-hmm. but Owen was really good, and that WrestleMania 10 match was really, really, really good.
Brett's still Brett's favorite. When I had a chance to talk to him, said it's not even close. It's 100% that one. Well, no, it's between that and Austin. He said,
"Yeah,
Austin,
I think
it's my." He said, Austin, I think, is my best match, but my favorite is the one with Owen.
Yeah. I really feel for JR in this.
I thought he handled it well.
He's really kind of the figurehead for WWE in a lot of ways for this. He facilitated that role. And, you know, Cornette had that really, 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 really bad comment about Becky. But then you hear him talking about Owen, and you're just like, you almost forget the Becky comment for a split second.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he almost breaks down, it's like, this is Jim Cornette almost breaking down. Holy crap. I think that point in the doc was like, oh boy.
Yeah, Cornette's saying that got to me for sure.
You didn't expect that at all from Cornette.
You did not. No, you didn't. It's and Corderas kind of talking about his time in the ring, and I love D'Lo talking about kind of his surprisement in Canada and how much the hearts meant here. And you and I have had the circumstances that we've been in front of that grave and we've paid tributes, and I think I might be going back there on Saturday to do the same thing. A question to you. Do you think that that grave is going to see a little bit more action the next handful of days now? In Calgary, at least.
Potentially. I think it could see. I mean, there's obviously a viewer uptick, and I mean, you look at what the Hearts meant to the city. I think that's a big part of this, is the Hearts meant a lot to the city. I've always heard that Owen's funeral was described as like a head of state passing.
Yeah, D'Lo was saying that, right?
I believe that someone said that the funeral procession was bigger than JFK's funeral procession.
Wow, jeez.
So I've heard stories about everything that's gone on in just of people that have been around that funeral and just everything that kind of it was massive. But it again, I think the documentary drives home that this was unnecessary.
Well, you know what's really shitty too is you have that scene of The Rock and you see I can't remember who the other person was. But I believe he's with Test on one side and Paul Bearer on the other side. I'm like, oh my god, this industry is fucking terrible.
Because you go through some of those episodes and you go, well, he's gone, he's gone, she's gone, he's gone, he's gone. Oh god, it went through a very dark period.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like everyone dropping like flies.
So my thing out of this, I would have liked to learn more about Owen as the wrestler, or talked more about Owen as the wrestler, but this is Martha having more say over it and what they want to do, then I have no problem with that. Oge and Athena have turned out terrific in where they are now. He's a lawyer and she's a journalist, so the kids were raised right. Martha was able to go back to school and she's a doctor now in Calgary, at the University of Calgary. So I think the family themselves, as far as actual life, has adjusted fantastically. And I'm sure Owen is really happy. So that part's fantastic to see, that they're all doing terrific.
Yes. Yeah.
But I would have liked to get more of the Owen. And that what if to me of Owen and Kurt and Owen and Edge and Owen and Benoit. Did you find it a little weird they didn't mention Benoit?
No.
The first time they have skipped out on that. That was a little interesting to me. Not surprised, but interested. But Owen and Eddie and stuff that maybe a little bit higher of a card Owen could have done against The Rock and stuff. I think it would have been you and I had kind of talked about recently that Brett had kind of maybe considered a comeback with Owen still in the company.
Yeah, like I think he'd signed and there were some talks that, hey, maybe eventually you come back here. Sean's not on the top. Maybe coming back. Whether Brett would have done it is a whole different ball game, but I mean, you could have, having Owen around would have probably helped influence a Hitman return.
Mm-hmm. So overall, I mean, I got to tell you, these docs are not easy to watch.
No.
And when we go through the motions of him falling down, I felt like a part of me was breaking again.
Yeah,
I really felt that emotion. I think it's the brilliance and the beauty of these Dark Side of the Rings, of showing those extra scenes that they have, the kind of cutaway scenes. But it absolutely gutted me and sunk my chest watching him fall over again. And I haven't told the story on here. Like, you're much younger when this happened, Joel. I was 14, 15. So I remember this still as clear as day, watching a Jesse Ventura biopic on TV, and then 2-7 out here in Calgary, playing the news. And this affects us more because we're both Calgarians, so this affects us a little bit more too. But yeah, 2-7 hitting it and saying Owen Hart had died, and just being like, no, this isn't true. I didn't get the pay-per-view at that time because it was $55 and I was 15. I had to ask my parents for it. They weren't gonna let me have it. You'd go and read Raja rumors. Yep. Afterwards, right? So I was just devastated. That day on, I and I've stuck to this, haven't had the opportunity to do it yet, but always said my first son's name was going to be Owen after Owen Hart, because of how much he cheered me up and was just a phenomenal person to be able to watch on TV, and to hear the stories around, you know, local people. My dad actually went to school with him at Ernest Manning and with Martha. So seeing those Ernest Manning, I think that was kind of a cool thing too, right? Of, we got to see an Ernest Manning jersey. We saw the Calgary Stampede. We saw a little bit out of Cochrane. So that, I think, for me, made it hit even a little more, a little bit closer to home, because I'm like, oh, these are sights and sounds of things that I'm much more familiar with than seeing Eddie Guerrero or Snuka.
Tragedies. This is a lot closer to home. I mean, I was in kindergarten when all this happened. And, I mean, you hear the story, and you're on Raja, and you're reading everything. And then the news breaks, and then just all the fallout from it. I remember, I think I still have it somewhere, but a VHS of the tribute show to Owen.
I do too somewhere.
It's very weird being 21 years removed from it. And you watch this and you go, Jesus. I think the biggest thing that I sit there and I ask is, how was this not stopped by the authorities? How?
That's the one I don't get, because we said like, oh, the show must go on kind of thing. That's the question I'm asking. Did Vince know already? But even when, it doesn't even matter if when Owen goes off, the cops should have came and stopped it right away. That point, if he gets thrown off and Vince is like, oh, I hope he's okay, let's keep him to the show. But as soon as he gets that word, because Bucky, Kevin Dunn does the thing to like, oh yeah, he's dead. And JR has to say that. Show's done. Show's over.
Yeah. You, Owen's dead. You're back in 10, 9.
It's on the just... fans too. If I was a fan, I would have walked out of the building. I'm done.
I
don't want to be part of that environment anymore. I would have walked out of the building.
It's very interesting, because this is one of those cases where I can't believe it. If that happened now, and thankfully it didn't happen now, because all the camera footage that would be on
social media too, right? People don't know that he's dead. They're not announcing it to the crowd either, right? So people see him fall, they probably think he just got hurt. No one knows that he's dead, because they're not getting information. They have no cell phones. There's no social media.
They don't know until they get home. They probably don't find out until they get home. And you sit there and you think about it. You were at a show where you saw someone die.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing with this is the police and fire should have stepped in right away and been like, nope, where the show's done, we need to investigate, because they don't know if Owen jumped. They don't know if someone pushed Owen off of there. You don't have a clue. All you know is a man fell, and now you got to figure out what happened. Maybe someone cut the cable. You don't know. You need to do an investigation. And I mean, if the blood was Owen's and it was still on there during the during that whole card where Austin wrestled Taker, and you can see it.
Yeah, here's the card, by the way. So the last match before Owens was Jeff Jarrett. He lost to Val Venus and Nicole Bass. Then the match was supposed to be Owens. So the next match, what do you know? The next match, Joel, that happened after them.
No, because Jarrett had to come out, didn't he? Jarrett
did the promo. He did the promo, but the two guys that come out after are Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. That's the next match.
So they got
Then you have a union match against the corporate ministry. And you have Rock against Hunter, and then you finish off with Undertaker and Austin for 22 minutes. Undertaker wins the belt that night.
And I think one of the, like, here's the thing: you look at when the Owen thing happened, it happened early in the card, and so you're kind of sitting there and you're like, well. This is a point where it doesn't matter what your pay-per-view provider is saying or what any of them are saying. When you say, hey, one of our guys died and we have to pull the show because there's an investigation, we need to find out what happened, I think could have made a lot of difference. And I think the other thing that could have made a big difference is just, I don't know.
How the police didn't get involved is the biggest mystery to me. I don't know how that makes any sense, how the police don't get involved in this and stop the show in some way. That makes zero sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really leaves you speechless. I told you I walked away from the Benoit one being like, I kind of feel free from this and I don't want to hear any more about Benoit ever again. And I walked away with the Dino Bravo one feeling somewhat satisfied about stuff. I didn't leave Snuka like I left Snuka like that, but I also felt like Snuka, like justice was never done.
Yeah.
I left this one still feeling very incomplete. I still think there's a lot left to this, unfortunately. I'm glad that Martha and the kids got their piece out in public. So that's a huge part of this now. But I feel like there's still a lot of things left to this, unfortunately.
And I have a funny feeling that there could be more fallout from this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I know there's some people in WWE that try to stop it, apparently. So
yeah, I'm surprised, like, because they're the Dark Side of the Ring, from what I'm being told, is protected under journalistic freedom. That's why they're able to show the footage that they are.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that WWE wasn't. I mean, just suing the widow and all that does not look really, like you said, this whole thing doesn't look exactly great on Vince, with him at the exact same time having a documentary with Taker that makes him look like one of the best bosses in the world.
It's a very weird time. Martha said that Dark Side will be replaying the Owen show next Tuesday with an added 4-minute clip of Owen just being a prankster and everyone talking about their favorite Owen pranks.
Yeah, they talked about that on the Jericho pod. I guess my last comment is, have we heard has Mark said anything more? Because I know a lot of people were pointing at Mark Henry the other day.
I don't think, I have not seen Brett's take on it. I've not seen Mark's take on it.
I guess my kind of final question is, who is missing from this documentary as far as interviews outside of Brett? I think Brett and Jeff are the two most obvious ones, right?
Jeff, Jarrett, Mark. I mean, I'd love to sit down with Vince and Kevin Dunn and go, why'd you keep going? What's your answer for it? Because reading this, so after the next person up is Jeff and Val Venus.
Okay, what's that then?
So Jeff Jarrett had his buddy wheeled in front of him and told to go, go, go. So, I don't know. I'd love an explanation. I really, really would like an explanation on why it kept going. And, like, even the interview, the one thing with the press conference, the clip from Vince, you can say that was cherry-picked to some degree. But, man, did his response really remind me of Donald Trump. Like, just asked a question and instantly defensive and throwing the blame on the other person.
It's like a nasty question.
Yeah. And I think that was a fair question. Was there negligence? No, we did everything possible. We don't know what happened. All you have to say is there's an investigation being done. We're doing our work and we're trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah, I guess the one punctuation is here. We no longer need to ask questions about Owen being in a video game, about Owen getting an action figure, about Owen being in the Hall of Fame. Those questions now can stop, finally. I think that's the one thing I've taken that I have closure on now, is now we know 100% that it is never, ever happening, because the children are not going to let that happen. Neither one of them give a crap about the wrestling business.
Yeah. There were some people that left the pay-per-view. Is it good. That because they heard that Owen died and they're like, this isn't family entertainment. Like, I want no part of this.
Yeah, it's I mean, on the more bonus side, I always remember Owen as just being one of the more entertaining guys I've ever seen perform. Underrated in-ring talent, and I will always wonder about that. What if he could have made it to 2000 with the talent that was coming, and what that would have meant for his career? I think it's the ultimate what if in wrestling. To me, there's no bigger. Maybe you come up with something bigger to me, but there's no bigger what if to me right now than that. Because he stays, he gets the rest of those guys. I wonder if that means Jeff Jarrett stays, and then what that means for TNA and et cetera, et cetera. Maybe Jerry Jarrett still does TNA even without Jeff. I don't know. And not even the TNA side, but just what he would have meant to that era as far as a combatant for other talented wrestlers that were like, he misses Jericho by months.
Then yeah.
He goes the end of May. Jericho's in the company 2 months later. And that was Jericho's dream opponent. Edge gets one dark match with him with an Argonauts jersey on.
Yeah, it.
And Kurt's trial match was the one, was it not?
I believe so. I believe
and
so.
And no footage on it.
It would have been. Owen could have had some really good matches.
Mm-hmm. He just missed his actual calling. And it's one of the reasons I get frustrated by the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era brought us a lot of fun stuff. But what it did as far as wrestling is terrible. That's why it's funny. Someone like Jim Cornette done to make a bigger thing of, oh, I hate this and I hate this. Like, yeah, but you were part of the Attitude Era, which 90% of the stuff is much worse than anything today.
Yeah. I mean, one of the names that was probably missing from this doc, and probably a good thing that he wasn't there, was Russo. Because Russo's quote on this whole thing is, he felt WWE did right by continuing the show. And he said the reason being is he pointed to the fact that Brian Pillman, a family friend of the Hearts and member of the Hart Foundation, died shortly before the Bad Blood in Your House pay-per-view, which was scheduled to perform in 97. After learning Pillman's death, both Brett and Owen went ahead with their matches on the show. Russo claimed that the show was that this show was the night to be passed. I can't even read how Russo speaks. The night he passed away, I'm sure Owen would have wanted the same thing.
By the way, if you go online and go Owen Hart and Vince Russo, you'll have Roddy Piper claiming that he killed Owen Hart, and obviously Jim Cornette claiming it as well.
Yeah, so, you know.
And Dave Meltzer also says that he thinks Russo had a big part of it as well. Because he was the one that kept on pushing him to do different things and push him into the do the harness gimmick. Vince McMahon, huge part in it, you know, with the harness situation, and it was very negligent how they handled it, and he's 100% to blame. But Russo was the one that would not let it go.
I think Russo, Vince, the bringing in someone cheap to do this, just the whole thing was like set to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was, I don't know, I feel like we're kind of circling around, but at the same time it's hard not to sit there and go how the company, like, and WWE sued the maker of the quick release. Mm-hmm. And I will bet you dollars to donuts that they got more money from that lawsuit than they ever had to pay out to Martha.
My thing is, too, Vince always tested everything. And I never really talked about that, but, you know, the Vince recently took the Gronk fall, famously, at this past year's Mania. He did the Shawn thing at WrestleMania 13. He was always infamous of doing any stunt that he would ask his employees to do. Did Vince not do this one for some reason this time? And if not, why?
Because Owen's low on the card. All those are... He has deep money invested in Gronk. He has deep money invested in Sean.
Mm-hmm.
doesn't have a lot invested in Owen. Owen's just there to spite Brett in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, and JR admitted that.
Yeah. So
he's a talented guy, but we could get a heart. We're gonna get a heart.
Yeah. So that was the only reason they had Owen. So that's why Vince didn't test it. Mm-hmm. That's why Vince wanted it quicker, because not enough too much screen time was being dedicated to it.
Yeah. All right. That is. Do you have any other points to add there, Joel?
I'm sure that there'll probably be more. It sounds like.
I have one, by the way. I do have one point, but I'll let you finish.
I'm sure more is going to be coming from this, and we are going to be sitting there and going, "This isn't quite done yet."
Mm-hmm. 100%. I find it interesting that Jim Ross, Godfather, anyone that was one in this documentary, first thing they said is like, I'm blah, 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 WWE Hall of Famer. First thing they would say.
Yeah, that was... I wonder if that's from other interviews, if that's just recycling.
Could be. Some people just read it online, and I did too, found it interesting that they made such a big point of saying that they were WWE Hall of Famers. Because I don't really think they made as much of a point of saying that before. Maybe I'm wrong. Probably am. But this time really felt like they made a – and even Jim Ross listed off all the Hall of Fames that he's in. And I wonder if that was kind of a subtle thing to be like, Martha put him in a Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
Because you definitely get that vibe from the wrestling world. They want to honor him.
I'm very curious to see how the next little bit plays out, because, I mean, Pro Wrestling Tees has got the two shirts, so mm-hmm. and all proceeds go to the Owen Hart Foundation. So we will see. I have one last point. Sure. I've talked about it. The man 100% responsible for the stunt, Bobby Talbert, has since gone on to become a very happy and wealthy man with a successful stunt career in Hollywood. So,
no, not exactly what you want to see, right?
He's,
all right, we're going to end on there, folks. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And hopefully the next time we're back, it's with a lot happier news. Again, thoughts and prayers to Shad Gaspar and his family and friends. And thank you to Martha, Oge, and Athena and their family for sharing their story about losing their father and opening up on this documentary for us all to have. I'm sure it couldn't have been easy for them, and also for Martha to have this time right now where she doesn't want to be in the spotlight for this, but to give her time to talk to Jericho, to talk to Dave and be part of this. So I thank Martha for that as well.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see this, and it's wild that this has actually happened.
And until next time, folks, cheers and love your family members and enjoy the day, people.